They don't know it, but he is the answer they're looking for. This is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Yes, I'm back. I'm trying to remember where all the buttons are. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. It's Prophecy Friday, and our reading today is the book of Haggai, 2 chapters. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end of the show. And at the end of today's show, I'll also give you some of the highlights and lowlights of our vacation in Alaska. I can't help but note that this is episode 314 of this, the 13th season of the show. You know what that means, right? Yeah, there are just 50 more episodes left before we land this plane. The pilot's beginning to feather the throttle back just a bit as he begins to bring her in. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we're back together again, and we ask that you would bless our time of reading today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Are you ready? Let's begin. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Haggai chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, If one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, Will it become holy? Then the priests answered and said, No. And Haggai said, If one who was unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priests answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to dry out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. And again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Well, beloved, there were 12 minor prophets, and the first 9 prophesied before Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon, or pre-exile. Haggai is the first of the remaining 3 minor prophets who came after the 70-year exile. King Cyrus of Persia allowed the exiled Jews to return to Jerusalem in 538 BC, after those 70 years of captivity, and 2 years later, in 536 BC, construction to rebuild the temple was begun, but the work stopped just 2 years later, in 534 BC. For 14 years, the temple was completely neglected. They had a foundation, but that was all. And then in 520 BC, the Lord told Haggai to speak to the people about their neglect of the temple. They had excuses for not continuing the work, but they seemed to have no problems building homes for themselves. Now, to their credit, Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the high priest, and the people listened to the word of the Lord through Haggai, and they restarted construction. And in chapter 2 of Haggai, the Lord encouraged the people. He told them, Be strong and work, for I am with you. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And then verses 6 through 9 were very, very special. Let me read them to you again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. You might ask, why are these special verses? Well, it's because the phrase, the desire of all nations, is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. There is no doubt that the nations don't know that Jesus is the desire of all nations, but listen to what the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said about this passage. He is the one, the true reformer, the true rectifier of all wrong, and in this respect, the desire of all nations. Oh, if the world could gather up all her right desire, if she could condense in one cry all her wild wishes, if all true lovers of mankind could condense their theories and extract the true wine of wisdom from them, it would just come to this. We want an incarnate God. And you have got the incarnate God. O nations, but you know it not. Ye, in the dark, are groping after him, and know not that he is there. And beloved, given the condition of the world today, listen and see how much more true these words of Spurgeon sound. Brethren, I may add, Christ is certainly the desire of all nations in this respect, that we desire him for all nations. Oh, that the world were encompassed in his gospel! Oh, when will it come? When will it come that all the nations shall know him? Let us pray for it. Let us labor for it. And in verse 9 of chapter 2 we read, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts." The latter temple, of course, being Jesus himself. Remember when he said in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Well, of course, he was talking about himself. And verse 9 ends with, "And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Well, let's connect John 14:27, when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Yes, beloved, we truly do have the only answer for the strife that is rampant in the world today. We have got to redouble our efforts to share the gospel, because only Jesus will bring peace to the hearts and minds of the lost. Let us not grow weary of the work, as the Jews did in their effort to rebuild the temple those many years ago. Let us not be discouraged by a culture that doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. They don't know it, but he is the answer they're looking for. God has us here for a reason, beloved. We are to be salt and light for a lost and dying world, and we cannot allow fear of being canceled to cause us to put our light under a bushel basket. It's our job to raise the light up high enough to chase the darkness away from even the hidden places. "Fear not," says the Lord, "for I am with you."
Well, what are your thoughts? Do you have comments or questions? Contact information will be at the end of today's show, or if you've got a modern podcast app, you can comment via Boostergram. I always love to see those things come in. I do read every comment, and I just might play your audio comment or read your comment on the show. So don't be shy, please. Let me hear from you. Tomorrow will be Gospel Saturday, and we'll read chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Acts. While I was in Alaska, some donations came in, so I'd like to acknowledge them right now. Lifespring Berean Sister Ann came in with a $150 donation while the lovely Lady Leanne and I were out of town, so thank you, Sister Ann. God bless you. And we have an executive producer today. While I was away, Anonymous sent in 2 weekly donations of $33.33. Thank you, Anonymous. God bless you. And we have a few associate producers. Timothy LaFontaine sent in $100 on July 27th, the first day of our vacation, with this note: "Thank you and God bless you and your work. It's a constant help in my walk with God." A shout out to the lovely Lady Leanne for supporting your work too. Well, thank you very much, Tim. And yes, the show would indeed not exist if it were not for Leanne's support. I could not do it without her. God bless you, Tim. Thank you. Michael Hainer sent in 2 weekly donations of $7.77. Those are Striper donations, in case you didn't know. Thank you, Michael. God bless you. And Travis Blevins came in with his monthly $20 donation while we were gone. Thanks, Travis. God bless you. And Chase Jacobson came in with his monthly $20 donation. Thanks, Chase. God bless you as well.
Now it's time for the Boostergram
Corner.
Boostergram Corner.
I don't know a thing about crypto.
Sister Denise sent in a 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boost on the Psalms 117 through 118, the revolutionary psalm that defied Jewish tradition episode. Her Boostergram said, "Praise the Lord." Yes, praise the Lord indeed, Sister Denise. Thank you. And Fountain User 2558 sent in 500 sats on the James 4 and 5 How to Pray episode and said, "Thank you." Well, you're welcome, 2558. Thank you. And Sister Denise sent in another 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boost on the Hebrews 8 through 10 perfect episode. And she said, not that the episode was perfect. That was the title. I don't want you to think I'm getting a big head, because no. Anyway, she said, "Praying for the Sweet Web family." Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Sister Denise. That's sweet of you. God bless you. Another 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boost came in. This one is from Fountain User Lily of the Valley, and it's on the Deuteronomy 7 through 9 Staying Close to God episode. They said, "God bless you. Enjoy your vacation." Well, thank you, Lily of the Valley. He does bless us, and we did very much enjoy our vacation. More about that in just a little while. And Fountain user 7028, send in 1,300 sats on the Psalms 125 through 127, Build a Life of Eternal Significance episode. And they said, I'll ask you later how the cruise went. Thank you for the boostergram, 7028. That's a good one. I'll ask you later. Okay. And another 500 sat boost came in from 2558 on the 2 Chronicles 33 through 36 God's Mercy in Our Response episode with their usual thank you. And again, you're welcome, and thank you, 2558. And last, Fountain user Ditching Dollars came in with 2,000 sats on the 1 Peter 1 through 3 Choose God's Agenda episode. No message, just the sats. Well, thank you, Ditching Dollars. God bless you. And really, thanks to each of you who supported the show with time, talent, or treasure while Leanne and I were away. The donations of treasure, whether dollars or sats, are very much appreciated and needed. And I also want to thank the team, Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany for keeping things going too. They had to do extra work ahead of our vacation while I was producing the shows in advance so that you would get fresh content while I was away. And also LifeSpring Berean, Brother Paul of Seattle, helped out by making sure that the album art was properly updated every day. That was something he had to do in real time. So Brother Paul of Seattle, thank you so very much. That was a real help for me. And beloved, this is what Value for Value is all about. All of these LifeSpring family members are receiving value from the show, and they return the value with time, talent, or treasure. What about you? As I said earlier, we are 314 episodes into season number 13. Have you received any benefit from the show? How about returning some of that value? It's kind of what makes this whole thing work. This is the LifeSpring family, and in a healthy family, everyone pitches in whatever they can. What can you contribute? Pray about it, would you? And then, go here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
I will thank you, and I do believe that God will bless you. But we did have a great time in Alaska, but getting there was maybe just a little bit different. The lovely lady Leanne and I flew out of San Diego on Thursday, the 27th of July at about 10:45 p.m., and then we were supposed to have about a four-hour layover in Chicago, then fly into Vancouver from there. Vancouver was where we were to board our ship, the Grand Princess. Well, about an hour or so before we were to land in Chicago, the pilot came on to tell us that because of weather, we were going to have to be in a holding pattern to see if the weather would clear. After about another half hour or so, he came on again to say that we didn't have enough fuel to hold any longer, and we were going to have to land in Indianapolis to fill the gas tanks. At this point, Leanne and I were thankful that there was a bit of time cushion before we had to catch the next leg of the trip. But not very long after that announcement, the pilot came back on to say that Indianapolis told him that they didn't have room for us. We'd have to go somewhere else for gas. Too many other planes were being diverted from Chicago, so we went to St. Louis instead. Well, when we finally landed, we were told that we would have to disembark because it was going to be a while before we could be airborne again. Well, now Leanne and I were beginning to get worried. If we didn't make the connecting flight, the ship would sail without us. That would not be a good thing. So Leanne got on the phone with the airline, American Airlines, to see if there were any other flights we could take. Turns out that there was another flight we could take from Dallas. So we had to get new boarding passes, and in the process, we asked the ticketing agent about our luggage. We wanted to be sure that it would go to Vancouver with us instead of Chicago. And after punching a few keys on his computer, he said, "No problem, you're good to go." Well, once in Dallas, there was a layover before our flight to Vancouver. And then, upon landing in Vancouver, we made our way through customs with our brand new passports. Yeah, neither one of us had ever had a passport. I know. I'll be 69 years old in a few days and never had a passport. Call me sheltered. But I've just really never had a need to leave the country, except for a short trip to Niagara Falls when I was about 7 years old, and a few trips over the Mexican border down here in Southern California to go to Tijuana or Ensenada. And neither one of those trips required passports. Well, anyway, after going through customs, we went to the baggage claim area to pick up our luggage, along with all the other people from our flight. If you've ever flown before, you know how that works. You stand around and you wait, looking at the carousel to begin moving, or a bell to ring or something to tell you that, okay, the luggage is coming out. And, yeah, pretty soon, the carousel began to turn, and suitcases did begin to appear, one after the other. Around and around the carousel went, and people picked up their luggage. Except for the webs. Well, not to worry, I thought. It'll show up. The ticket agent assured us that our luggage would make the transfer. But eventually, the carousel stopped without delivering our luggage. Leanne and I looked at each other and we go, now what? Well, not far from the carousel was the desk for reporting lost luggage. At least that was convenient. Well, we put in our claim and we were told that our luggage was in, can you guess where? Yeah, even though we never made it to Chicago, our luggage did. Well, by now, it's about midnight. Yes, you heard that right. We began this sojourn at 10:45 p.m. in San Diego, and it's now about midnight of the second day. We have been traveling for over 24 hours at this point, and we're not even in our hotel yet, and we only have our carry-on bags. Well, the nice lady at the lost luggage desk said that they would try to have our luggage to us by the time we had to board our ship the next morning. Uh-huh. Well, we prayed and we asked the Lord to get the luggage to us, but by now we really didn't have a whole lot of hope. Things are not looking good. Well, we took a cab to the hotel, which was recommended to us by our travel agent, and it was very nice, with a view of the harbor. We were right across the street from where our ship would be in the morning. Now, when we checked in, there was an envelope waiting for us from Princess Cruises, telling us where to be in the morning and at what time to board the ship. Well, needless to say, even though we did not have our luggage, we were exhausted from the previous 27 hours, and we fell fast asleep very quickly. Well, when we woke up about 5 hours later, we were very disappointed to find that our luggage had not caught up with us, and the Princess Cruises person told us that just in case it did not show up in time, we should buy some clothes and toiletries and whatever else we might need for the next 2 days. She said that American Airlines would have to reimburse us and that the luggage would probably be brought to our ship at our first port. Well, while that news did not entirely make us happy, at least we knew that somewhere down the line, the luggage probably would catch up to us. So instead of having a few leisurely hours to explore Vancouver, we went on a shopping spree. And thankfully, there was a very nice department store within walking distance of the hotel. Well, after the shopping was done, we made our way to the ship, found our way to our cabin, found no luggage, dropped our carry-on bags, then went on to a mandatory safety briefing and explored the ship a bit. And exhausted, we went back to the cabin, or stateroom as it's called. When we opened the door, guess what was waiting for us? Yes, our luggage was there. Hallelujah. We were ecstatic. And now we could finally begin our vacation. We could relax. It was almost exactly 48 hours since we left our home to go to the San Diego airport. We only had a few short hours of sleep, and now things were finally falling into place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about some of the highlights of the cruise and our time in Alaska. And in the meantime, if you're on Instagram, you can see some shots we took. I'm OG_Godcaster on Instagram, and Leanne is LeanneWebb59. That's LeanneWebb59, of course, all one word. And yes, despite the difficult beginning, our time in Alaska was everything we had hoped it would be. Come on back tomorrow to hear more about it. Our next time of prayer will be this coming Sunday. We do have some things to pray about and to praise God for, and I would love to include your praise report or prayer request. Listen up in just a moment for how to let me know how we can pray together. I would love to hear from you. If you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, here's how to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you prefer to type your message for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Also, Boostergrams are a fast and easy way to do any of those things. And last, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to the team, Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany for their donations of time and talent. I never worried a moment while I was away. You guys are all the best. And thanks to Brother Paul of Seattle for making sure the show art updated correctly every day while we were in Alaska. And by the way, the show art today was done by Jason Pascal. And thanks also to everyone who made donations of value for value treasure while I was away. God bless each one of you. And last but not least, thanks to each and every member of the LifeSpring family. Thank you for allowing the lovely Lady Leanne and I the time away. We did both need it badly. Thank you for continuing to listen to the show while I was gone, and thanks for your prayers and well wishes for a great vacation. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring 1-Year Bible is solely supported by your value for value donations of time, talent, or treasure.